Welcome to IBBA Insights, providing expert advice on buying or selling small businesses. IBBA Insights is presented by the International Business Brokers Association, the world's largest nonprofit organization for those helping others sell or buy businesses. Now, here's your host, Chris Diglio.
This episode of IBBA Insights is brought to you by BizNexus. Are you tired of wasting time and money on outdated marketing and listing solutions that don't deliver in our rapidly changing industry? BizNexus helps business brokers minimize wasted time and automate deal flow, and the platform releases a major feature update each month based on business broker needs and feedback. Embrace the new normal and get started for free today at biznexus.com. That's BIZNEXUS.com. Thanks again, BizNexus, for being a supporter and sponsor of the IBBA Insights. Today, we're going to be finishing our three-part series on minority-owned businesses and the stories of minority business owners. We've had some great guests to date. We've talked with Lisa Coker. We talked to Dr. Walter Davis. And today is going to be exceptional. We have two guests on today, Shelley Heller and April Pollack, and they have a company called Tempergenics, the creator of the first all-paper disposable forehead thermometer. It's in retail markets all over the place, CVS, Target, Kroger, Walmart. Their product's called Temp and Toss. It's a disposable forehead thermometer strip. They founded the company in 2016. Tempergenics is a joint woman-owned venture by Allied Shipping and Packaging Supplies Incorporated. President of the corporation is Shelley Heller, and C3 Group Vice President April Pollack. The business was created with the vision to package and deliver low-cost, disposable, and sustainable forehead thermometers for the consumer market. And we talked about how it was created back in 2016, but obviously what we're going through today when it comes to COVID-19 and the pandemic, it's really launched the business and taken things to a different level. So I'd like to take this time while we have it to welcome to the show Shelley and April. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Oh, thank you so much for having us. Appreciate it.
Oh, not a problem. Very excited to have you. I know your time is you're not short on anything right now with business, but time is probably not your friend, all that you have going on. So appreciate you taking the time to do this, because it's such an important and impactful thing for us to talk about and to share your story, because it's a very unique story. I was listening not long ago on the Blaze Network, Glenn Beck. I heard the interview you guys did with him, and it was really exciting. So happy to have both Shelley and April on the line. So wanted to jump right in and share your story with the audience. If you don't mind talking about how the two of you met.
Sure. Actually, we met, April and I have been business partners, not exactly business partners, but we did business together probably 10 or 13 years ago. And so we've been pretty good friends for an awful long time. And we happened to be at a women-owned business event for WeBank here in Columbus, Ohio. And we were at lunch with a friend of ours who actually was the sales rep for this thermometer company. And so she was complaining about how many of these thermometers that she had to get rid of and was having a very hard time selling them. And so we were just noodling it around and looking at each other, all three of us. And I'm like, well, you know, we both go, well, why don't you sell them to mom? Well, the manufacturer which we use now, that has the patent on our liquid crystal, she said, well, we don't want to sell. I mean, we're a manufacturer. We don't want to sell to the public, and we don't want to sell, you know, out there. We'll just make them. And April and I looked at each other, and we were like, we'll try to do it. We'll try to sell it to mom. It was literally that. I think it was end of 2015. and I think we got incorporated, April, please tell me if I'm wrong, but I think we got incorporated in 2016.
Yes, we got our WeBank certification in 2016, correct.
So literally the two of you met and right off the bat, it's like, we're going to go into business together. We can do this.
Well, we had already worked together for about 8 years.
Okay. Long time.
I was at a marketing agency and Shelley was a client and we were good friends. And when I purchased C3 Group and she owns Allied, we just have worked so closely together for about 14, 15 years now. We trust each other so much, and it just seemed natural.
Well, in any partnership, trust, you have to have trust. It goes a long way because you hear so many stories of partnerships that go wrong. So you had an 8-year history of really knowing each other and knowing you can work with each other. You liked each other, respected each other. And this opportunity came or the thought came, I imagine then you couldn't have found a better person or to do it with.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, absolutely. Honestly, it with this pandemic, what you just said about honesty and trust is magnified by a million during this pandemic. I mean, if we didn't have that baseline of trust and have all, you know, and you have to do really, you know, when you go into business with someone, you have to do all the lawyer stuff and you have to do all the, you know, partnership agreements and all that. And you have to be so honest and so, you know, specific on certain things. And there's things we know about each other that nobody else knows. I mean, even our family. So but during this pandemic, I'm here to tell you, if you don't trust your partner, you're in trouble because it got crazy in March, April, and May.
Yeah, we're going to touch on the pandemic in just a little bit because I know that your business was in existence and this product, this great product that you have was in existence prior to the pandemic, but how, you know, not that anything good can come out of it. God, you know, it's awful that we've had this pandemic and it's an awful thing, but products like yours have been a savior and a help and an aid to many people. So I want to touch on that in just a little bit, but I really like to talk about kind of your early lives. Growing up, each one of you, and I'd like to hear from both you, Shelley, and April, did you grow up wanting to be an entrepreneur, knowing one day this is something you'd want to do?
This is Shelley. My dad is an entrepreneur, or was an entrepreneur. He had just passed here in May, and was a salesman his whole life. And so, and then started his own business. So I was kind of brought up into that. And I think it just is a natural transition for me to go from, I was a public relations vice president in Chicago for 11 years in my 20s and 30s, and then moved back to Dayton, Ohio, and started working for my father. So I think it's in my blood, it's who I am. And to be honest with you, would love to be able to talk to my dad right now and say, well, look at what she did, because this is what he did. And Allied Shipping and Packaging is his baby. So I'm proud to say that I got those special genes. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. This is April. Growing up, I don't think I envisioned myself being an entrepreneur. I worked in marketing and advertising at companies such as Reynolds and Reynolds, a small family-run agency, and then I helped co-found C3 Group. And I worked there with the president and ended up buying him out and became president and owner. So when we started Tempogenics, people keep asking us, "Are you guys crazy? You each own other businesses. What made you want to start a third one together?" And I never envisioned myself being in a position like this where we are actively involved with and, you know, running day to day two different companies.
Well, how do either one of you have time to sleep? I mean, there's so much work that has to go involved, especially the demand you've had because of COVID.
I will say, this is April, that it was almost a blessing the way the Tempogenics was able to, we were able to focus on Tempogenics during the pandemic. Both of our other companies slowed down a bit and we had a lot more time. Prior to the pandemic, we prioritized everything's contract manufacturing. So we had set aside time each week that Shelly and I would meet and we would have our list of everything that had to be done. And it went very well. It was the pandemic was the game changer when we grew 1300% in a 2 month period. That was when it really became, oh my gosh, now we really do have two fully operating companies that we have to manage. And like I said, you know, it's not really a blessing, but it is that our other two companies, we were able to spend more time here and really get this off the ground, as we also have great teams at the other two organizations that were able to manage without us.
Shelly, let me ask you this question. So you're in the thermometer market. Digital thermometers historically have dominated or have been dominating the marketplace. So talk about again your idea for the temp and toss and the idea for to create or a different type of thermometer, one that might be less expensive, one that might be maybe more friendly, user friendly to someone. Talk about how you decide to create a new niche within a very inside this segment.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great question, actually. We wanted to, okay, to be perfectly honest, this is for the WBENC Certified Women Owned Business Network. It is drilled in our brains to be different, to be have a differentiator. Don't come with the same product everybody else has. Make sure you can stand out. I mean, for years, heard this over and over again. So, and when we did run across our friend who had these thermometers available, we didn't want to sell the exact same thing that they were selling because you just become a me too-er. So I think it was, we had heard something either, I would assume on Glenn Beck, I'm just saying, that there was something going around where Prop 65, which is a, started in California, that there was a mission going on to try to get rid of Mylar. Okay, so Mylar is basically in everything that is probably sitting on your desk. It holds things together. It's made out of plastic, and so Prop 65 was trying to get rid of it. As when you are in production making Prop 65, the actual residue from making it could possibly cause birth defects. So we, April and I, read this in a hotel room when we're at a WeBank conference, and both looked at each other and said, "Wonder if we could turn our thermometer into paper, because it would be a sustainable, eco-friendly, one-time use." And so we just decided that. And so now this is on the hinges of being asked to come to Bentonville, Arkansas, to present in the open call for American-made businesses. Okay, so we're about 3 weeks out, right? And so we go to our manufacturer and say, "Hi, is there any way you can turn this into paper?" You would have thought we had three eyes. But we kept pushing it, and we got samples for a paper thermometer and brought them, and we were invited, we were the only ones out there. So that's how that happened. At least that's how I recall it. April, do you have anything to fill in on that?
Only that the original idea was based off the Mylar thermometer that had traditionally been used in hospitals and, in operating rooms. It did not have an adhesive on the back. And that was another thing we wanted. If we were going to position this to moms, what mom wants to try and hold a thermometer against a fussy toddler's head when they're sick? So we also pushed for and added the medical grade adhesive on the back of the paper thermometer.
Well, on your website, I absolutely love the picture. There's this baby being held, it looks like, by his mother with the thermometer on the forehead and laying there with his head on the shoulder, just as peaceful as can be. I don't think you could tell a better story than that.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, really? To be able to not poke your child in the middle of the night with either an ear thermometer or a, you know, rectal thermometer or a, you know, mouth thermometer to wake them up to take their temperature. If we can remove all that, that's a win for us.
Yeah. And April, it's not that you and Shelley created, you know, just a product, right? You created a superior product. I mean, 2019, you're the recipient of the top innovative product award from Kroger, and that had to make you feel pretty special.
We were a bit shocked at that one, honestly. We were invited out to a buyer meeting. There were a lot of vendors who applied to go, and we did, and only, I believe, about 100, correct me if I'm wrong, Shelley, were invited to go. And we had not dealt with Kroger yet. We were not working with them. We were not in store. This was our first introduction to Kroger. So to win that award that day while we were there was a shock. But it was also, it gave us the credibility we were looking for.
We've both talked about, or I heard mentioned the WBENC, the Women's Business Enterprise National Council. Your company's woman-owned, operated, and controlled. You're also a Made in the USA product. Mm-hmm. If you don't mind, Shelley, talking about the importance again of being a woman-owned business and also your product being made here in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love talking about this. I believe, and April and I both believe this, we probably wouldn't exist without the backing of WBENC. The way they go about teaching us how to network and that don't be ashamed to stand up for yourself and brag about yourself and to tell them what you have and all that kind of stuff. And that, to be able to have access to, oh my gosh, 500, 600 major corporations, that you can just walk right up to them and say, hi, my name's Shelley, and I'm a co-founder of Tempogenic. Would you like to see what we make? And it's a yes. I mean, it just really has made us who we are, and our connections, you know, have just grown extensively. I mean, and, Allied Shipping and Packaging has been certified for the last, 13 years, maybe 12 or 13 years. And then with Tempogenics being certified for four years, we already had a really good foundation with meeting with the supplier diversity buyers and the procurement buyers. And so we knew a lot of them, so the relationships were already in place, which was such a blessing. I can't remember the next part of your question. You asked me about WeBank and then
about being made in the USA.
Oh, made in the USA. This was extremely important to both of us. We are in Dayton, Ohio, and we both lived through 2008 and 2009. We are heavily automotive city here. We're like second to Detroit. We got hit so hard. And so we decided to make sure that everything either would be made, assembled, or produced in America, period. And specifically, it ends up, which is a great for us, is all made in Ohio. So we're pretty gosh darn proud of that, and be able to have a wonderful price when people are saying that, well, it's made in America is too expensive. Well, we've done it pretty economically.
Well, you should be very proud of that. I can hear it in your voice. And it is a testimony, because you might be able to send it to China or overseas, and maybe it gets made a little less expensive, but maybe you don't get the same product that you get or the same control that you have being made here, right in your backyard.
Exactly. And honestly, we learn about a whole bunch of surveys that are done for WeBank does for us. And there's some kind of, and I'm not going to get this right, but 60% or 70% of the decisions made at the grocery store or at the pharmacy or at CVS or wherever are made by women. Women will most likely buy from other women. So we are very proud to put the WBENC logo on the back of our product. Because we believe, I mean, I do. Now I go to the grocery, and if there's a WBENC product and it's a little more expensive, I'm going to buy it anyway.
That's great. It's all about the importance of relationships. I'm a big believer in relationships. I'm a big believer in organizations that help and promote, and you're supposed to support them. And the IBBA, as we do this podcast, I'm a past chairman of the IBBA, and people sometimes ask, well, you know, how did you end up being a chairman, or how do you end up with this podcast? I said, well, I didn't just ask for it. It's, you know, you have to join these associations or these organizations, mm-hmm. and you have to get involved, and you have to, you know, not just get involved, meet people, understand what they do, take everything, learn. And when you've learned all that you could possibly learn, then you give back and you help others learn. Mm-hmm. April, how important is the WBENC to you?
As Kelly said, it's extremely important. We would not be here today had our relationships in WeBank not led us in this direction. We were both already involved in WeBank with the other companies are also certified, so have been attending the WeBank national conferences and regional conferences for years and been building those relationships. So when this opportunity came, not everybody can say, hey, I mean, the fact that our first distribution channel was Walmart.com, and that came about because of a relationship with the supplier diversity buyer that we would have access to at all of these events. Same thing was with Target. When we launched in Target, that was a direct result of a relationship we had. It was actually with the supplier diversity woman at Lowe's, and she grabbed the thing from Shelly and said, give that to me. I'm on the retail board. And she took and gave it to the supplier diversity person at Target. And just to have the direct access for that and have somebody being a champion on your side for you and your company and making the introduction. But you also have to show up and take it, you know, you have to put in the work and the time and the commitment to really build those relationships. But without WeBank, mm-hmm. we would not be here.
I was going to ask you, April, with WeBank, what would your advice be to other women who would like to get involved with WeBank? And if they join and their companies are looking to join, you know, how important is it for them to be involved, and what does being involved mean?
It means show up and participate. I can't tell you. I mean, we have numerous stories. For example, it was, I believe, in Houston. We were at a Summit and Salute WeBank event, and these are long days. It's like 3 days. You're down in the conferences. You're meeting people. You're in all the breakout sessions. You're meeting with the buyers, and at the end of the day, sometimes you just want to go back to your hotel room and collapse because you've been on your feet all day. But, you know, to go to that evening networking event that they have, or to stick around for just a little while longer. Quite honestly, the second time we were invited out to WeBank, it's because Shelly and I were standing in the hallway and we're looking at each other and we're like, well, do we have a break? Should we go clean up for dinner? Should we stay here? And we decided just to stick around for a little while longer. And we happened to see the supplier diversity person for Walmart. He was standing there by himself in the hallway. And we just went up and started talking to him. And we're like, hey, thank you, for your help last time we were invited. By the way, we just launched nationally in Target, and we have EDI now. And he just kind of grabbed our arms and like, I need you to come back out to Bentonville then. So if you're not there and you're not participating, these kind of opportunities aren't just going to fall in your lap. So you have to go to the lunches. You have to go to the seminars. And you have to help other people as well A lot of this is people introducing us because they know somebody, and then we in turn introduce them back to other people, and that's how it works.
Shelly, I tell people all the time, because I'm an instructor for the IBBA, and I'm a big proponent of the association, because without the IBBA, to me, is my WeBank, right? It to me, it was giving me everything I needed to be successful in business brokerage. So I always encourage people, you know, great, you got a lot out of the association, but now it's maybe time to give back. Is it important for you to be able to give back to the new people that get involved with the association?
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. Actually, my COO here at Allied Shipping and Packaging, we put on all the luncheons for the year in Dayton. So we will have these luncheons in Louisville, Dayton, Columbus, Cleveland. So we're in charge of Dayton. We do that. We plan those. I was, by the grace of God, I was asked to represent Dayton, Ohio as part of the forum, which is part, you know, kind of a decision-making team for WeBank National. And so we get back there. But I mean, it's amazing how many women that through this networking, we invite them to lunches, we invite them to our events, and, you know, one after the other. I've talked to two today who will, you know, contact me on LinkedIn and said, you know, is it really worth it? And I said, oh my gosh, here's the link, fill it out, you know, just do it and give it a shot. And then we'll invite you to lunches and all that. We are like the poster child for WeBank. And it's kind of funny because at the beginning, when we first got certified, I wasn't on that train. And so for me to turn around like that, and know that, I mean, all of our blessings came from them. It has been, they actually have leadership conferences. We went to April, but we had CBS leadership business conferences. We went to, you know, our local chapter here, ORE BEC, also has leadership. And I did some leadership classes over at L Brands. I mean, so they have so many opportunities to grow and to learn. It's crazy. And so to give another person who had just started, or another woman-owned business that just is a startup, or someone that decides that, you know, after all this time to become women-owned, to give them that gift, oh my gosh, you do it all day. Absolutely.
Well, we've talked about all the benefits that have come along with being a part of that, and the benefits you've had of being a woman-owned business. Let's talk about the challenges, if any. And I'd like to ask you both this question, so if you don't both mind taking a stab at answering it. But what were your biggest challenges, if any, again, you faced being a woman-owned business? Any objections, any really bad things that came up against you that you just had to overcome?
April? Did we lose her?
Not really. I will say, great, for my other company, for C3, we are a marketing, advertising, and web design firm. So how many of those are in the country? So if you go to these and you are, not to say that there's nothing that sets us apart, but if I'm a corporation based in California, there are going to be just as many WeBank certified agencies in California as there are in Ohio, and they'll probably want to go local. So not to be discouraged if you don't think you're set apart, because, for example, for my other company, I found my niche was not into going after, for example, Target is not going to use my company. They're not. I know that. However, the other Weebies who are there who are trying to pitch to Target, now that's my audience, and that's who I can go after. So at first, you know, the mindset when I was certified there, you know, I had these dreams of working with all of the big companies, and it was not exactly realistic. So that would be the only negative. But then finding the niche of, I'm there to help all of these other awesome woman-owned businesses who are there. I can help them you know, make sure their brand's on point or their capability statement or their website and videos. And I'm there more as a tier two supplier to instead meet with the directly with the buyers to meet with all those other women. And once I wrapped my mind around that, is really when I started, you know, seeing more success within WeBank itself. So it's just, if you go in with the, you know, it may not be what you had anticipated on, but you're still going to get benefit out of it.
I think that's the perfect answer. I listened to the both of you and it comes right across. You're fearless. I mean, you go into what a lot of times could be a very scary situation for anyone, but particularly if you're looking at a woman-owned business to where it can be male-dominated at times, and mm-hmm. and it doesn't seem like either one of you have the attitude that's going to hold you back or that's an obstacle either way, because obviously, look at what you've created. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're male or female. The product and the company you've created stands up there against anybody. I love your attitude and your outlook.
Well, I'm in a male-dominated business, and so for the last 10 years or so, I'm usually the only woman-owned person in a room of all men who own shipping and packaging supply companies, so I'm kind of used to it by now, so to be around a bunch of women actually is kind of great, and I agree with April. The only downside, I think, is actually humbling yourself to know that you find your wheelhouse. Like we do a lot of tier two business with people who feed GM, Chrysler, Johnson & Johnson, and people that see that, you know, these huge corporations, but see they're all made here in Dayton. So. And in Columbus and in Cleveland and in, you know, Indiana. So we play extremely well in tier two. So we have long, long, long standing customers that are all WeBank certified. So pretty proud of that.
Well, Shelley and April, I know you're both very busy, especially with all that you have going on with your companies, right? Specifically with Tempergenix and the demand that you have out there right now. So I'm gonna bring this interview to an end after two more questions, if you don't mind. But I've got, and I'd like you to both weigh in on this. I'll start with you, Shelley. There are other women that are going to be out there listening to this show, and they may have an idea for a product, or they may have a desire to be in business one day. What advice would you give to them?
Do it. Just do it. So many times, you know, we sit there and we think like, you know, I should do this or I should do that. And I should, well, I can't get the funding or I can't do this. There are so many resources. Just make up your mind. Step over that line of fear and just do it. The worst thing that could happen is somebody would say no. And if they say no, then go to another direction. So, I mean, I think April and I both agree on that. It's like you just keep pushing. You know how many no's we got, especially from our manufacturer? No, we can't do this. No, we can't do this. Really? Well, and then we bring, you know, examples of, well, this can happen. You don't think you can do this? I mean, we'd have to fight to get what we needed. So just do it. You know, we sit around and especially during this whole pandemic situation, a lot of people have had a lot of time to think. And my personal opinion is I think we're going to see a lot of innovation come out of that. And I hope so. And if they do, reach out to some other women on LinkedIn. Just say, hey, can you help me? People will help you. They will.
If you don't act on an idea, somebody's going to act on that idea. I tell this story a lot, but there's a TV show, The King of Queens, and Jerry Stiller was played the father of Leah Remini on the show, and he would hear a commercial or see something in the newspaper, and he would just flip out and go crazy and yell and scream, I have this idea, they stole it from me. But the problem was he never did anything with those ideas, right? Mm-hmm. So you actually have to get behind it, believe in it, and do something with the ideas that you have. Don't be afraid.
Mm-hmm. Right. Ask for help.
So April, help. I'm gonna ask you a question to end this. And Shelley, I'd like to, if you want to chime in, if it's something a little different than April, that's fine too. But when this is all said and done, and you look back on your career, what would you like your legacy to be?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, see that one first? I would like to know that what I did made a difference. That is the whole reason I left big corporate America. I did not feel like I had an impact. And if the impact is that I was able to support families locally, the people we employ, one thing we have not mentioned is not only the staff that works at, you know, the three companies combined, you know, pretty proud of being able to allow them to rely on us for their paycheck. But it's also our social responsibility is extremely important to us. So one thing we haven't mentioned is we have three facilities that assemble our product. And the assembly is done by adults with disabilities or people in recovery. And we have a big commitment to that. We started with one company here in Dayton. And now, based upon our growth during the pandemic, so there are currently 50 to 75 adults with disabilities or people in recovery who we are employing through the three facilities. And if nothing else, to know that for a short period of time, we helped other people be able to live their lives. I mean, that's the most I could ask to be known for.
Right.
And you, Shelley?
To me, I agree with April on that completely. I'm so glad that's part of our core values and in our strategic plan. But I'm a tither. And so to be able to, money's great, but unless you use it for the right thing. And so to be able to tithe, and then also to be able to, we haven't mentioned this either, but through the Glenn Beck National Campaign, we're going to be donating part of the proceeds of that to a place called Bridget's Path here in Dayton. It's a facility that cares for infants that have been born dependent on drugs. And there's only two in the entire country. One's in West Virginia and one's here in Dayton, Ohio. So they take in these children and help them get sober, for lack of a better word, or to, you know, kind of get the drugs out of their system, while working with the mothers and the parents through AA meetings, NA meetings, getting them to the right resources to become a family again. So we believe in Dayton, and we believe in what's going on here. And so for us to be able to have the ability to give money and our time, and, you know, just all that kind of, there's nothing greater than giving. There's nothing greater than giving, and we have been given so much. And so we just need to, you know, we need to be good stewards of our money. We need to be good stewards of our service, and to be able to be there for others, because gosh darn it, a lot of people were there for us. So we just want to pay it forward and make sure we're giving as much as we have received.
Well, I'm going to give you both an amen. I'm sitting here and I'm listening to you, and then I'm sitting here thinking, I can't wait for this podcast or this show to broadcast, because the show is so inspirational. The last three series we've done, the three parts of this series, were on minority business owners and their stories. But in talking to both of you, as I had with others, but specifically talking with both of you today, I don't care what nationality you are, what the color of your skin is, what gender you are. Mm-hmm. The two of you are an inspiration and a role model for so many people, and I'm very proud to have been able to do this interview with both of you. Thank you so much for taking your time out of your schedule to be part of our show today.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I'm so humbled. Thank you. Wow.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Well, if you don't mind, because I end every show like this before I go into the few things that I'm going to say at the end, but you were kind enough to come on and share your story with everyone. If you don't mind, how can people learn more about your company and your product, and where can they get it?
April, I'll screw it up.
Sure.
All right, April, it's on you.
Yeah. This is an easy one. I'll take it. They can go to Tempagenix, which I know that's hard to spell, T-E-M-P-A-G-E-N-I-X, Tempagenix.com, or Tempintoss.com will also forward. They can learn about our products. Right now, you can get us, which I know we're in a transition between clip strips and being on shelf, but in September, we will be available in Kroger and all divisions across Kroger, CVS, back on Walmart.com and Target.com.
Shelley Heller, April Pollock, I wish you both continued success and God bless both of you and your families. And again, continued success to you both.
Thank you.
I'd like to personally thank the IBBA, the International Business Brokers Association, for giving me this platform to bring stories like this to you and talking with Lisa Coker and Dr. Walter Davis and April Pollock and Shelley Heller and be able to talk to you about minority-owned businesses and their stories and how successful it can be and the path to getting there and the hard work. And I hope it has all been an inspiration to everyone. It has been for me. I hope you learned a lot during these three episodes. I hope it's inspired not just minority people in minority classes, but everyone to take a chance at business ownership if that's what's in your heart to do. If they can all do it, you can do it. There's a lot more opportunity now than there was 20 years ago, 10 years ago, or even a few years ago. Google it, look into it, ask a lot of questions, look at the associations and organizations that could help you the most. So I wish you all the best of luck in supporting your efforts to fulfill your dreams out there. Thank you for being a loyal listener to IBBA Insights. Please spread the word, follow us, and share these episodes on your social media platforms. If you want to, you know, if you want the world to change, don't look at the TV, look in the mirror. Change starts at home. We can all make a difference. God bless you all and have a great day. Thank you for listening to IBBA Insights.